This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, I'm Jermaine B, and this is Careers Unusual, where we speak to people with jobs that are off the beaten path. Cosplay is the art of bringing fictional character to life through costumery and pageantry. Venus Lim, owner of Costurera Haberdashery, make that happen. She is a veteran cosplayer who started her business to create costumes for cosplay and stage fashion. And today, Venus is here with us to share on what it means to be a costumer, as well as what cosplay culture is like in Malaysia.
Hi everyone, my name is Venus. I run Costurera Haberdashery as a costume designer and tailor.
So Venus, walk us through your story of how you veered to the path of costume tailoring. How does one become a costumer? Did you start off with a fashion design background?
Not really. My educational background is actually nursing. But I've started cosplaying back in 2010. That's when I started making my own costume to save costs. And eventually, I began to fund my hobby by making costumes for other people as well. So from there, I began to pick up the interest in this area. And then I begin to take short courses and improve my skill in it.
I see. You mentioned that you wanted to save money, so you make costumes for cosplay. But how did you turn the hobby into a business? How was the process like?
I don't think there is a long process. It just hit me one day because I was doing nursing in Singapore. And then one day I just got a bit tired of it. I want to do something that I really like, something that I really have passion with. At that moment, it would be cosplay. And I really enjoy fashion. So I combine both of this and think that, you know, maybe I can bring it into an actual business because maybe it's new in Malaysia, but it's not uncommon in other countries. So I begin exploring and it turns out well. So I proceed in that path.
I see. How long has it been so far?
It's already 4 years plus. I think 4 years and 3 months, yep.
Okay, I'm sure all of us are wondering, how did you come up with the name Costurera Haberdashery? Okay, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, that's right. Costurera Haberdashery is a mouthful, so we just call it CHAB for short. I'm looking, because it's very generic to call it a costume shop or a cosplay shop, so I sort of do a bit Googling for a different terms for costume, so that's where I get Costurera. I'm a fanatic of British and Western history and tailoring. So haberdashery is taken from an old English word that represents a tailoring shop where they have stocks, zippers, thread, lots of buttons and things like that. I really, really like that. So I just combine these two. And yeah, that's how you get the name.
Okay, very interesting. Okay, and what's the cosplay culture like in Malaysia? Are we still seeing a rising trend of cosplay lovers? Or is it more like a close-knit community?
Oh, not really. Over the years, because I started off back in 2010, if you compare to today, the amount of cosplayer is just amazing. But there's a shift of demographic. Maybe a few years back then, there's more Japanese stuff. And then eventually, they mix with a bit Korean stuff as well. But recently, a year or two, you begin to see more Western cultures.
Would you know why is there such a fascination surrounding anime and wanting to dress up or even act like characters from some of these shows?
A few years back, I actually made a short documentary where I interviewed some of the cosplayers. For them, it's like a hobby itself, an outlet for you to explore a different life. Because we know our daily lives is like going to school, going to work, get trapped in a jam. But when you dress in a character you like, you can be a prince for today. You can be a magician tomorrow. So it's like a short escape, a holiday for the mind.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. And walk us through the process of making a costume. How do you even start?
First of all, if it's for cosplay, we will have a specific reference picture where we study the detail and, of course, the mechanism. You know, because sometimes drawing is just drawing, but to make it into an actual 3D, you need to really sit down and make sure the mechanism works. That's one. So we started off with sketching. After that, we look into material that resembles it. If it's shiny, is it satin or is it PU or is it metallic surfaces? And then we go into the process of measurement. Then we make purchase of the material, drafting, preparing the basic cuts that you need, and then we combine them together. Last but not least is tiny finishing like hand-sewn lace or buttons and zippers and that sort.
And Venus, how do you decide what do you make and put in your stores? Like, there are so many characters out there. How do you decide which ones fit to be in your store?
Actually, I do customization, which means if client wants something, then I make something. I don't really make and put there for sale. Whatever that is in my shop at the moment, the collections are more of private collection, my own design, that I hope to either sell one day or put them on a runway show. But in terms of cosplay, I only make when there's a demand.
I see. Mm. And are they for rent, some of these?
My own costume, yes, but I don't specifically make something to be rented. Because cosplay, there's a lot of characters out there and everyone has different interests. So it's kind of difficult and risky to make something and wait for it to be rented out.
And I see that you brought some costumes with you today. Would you like to tell us more about these costumes?
I actually bring the costume that is based on my own design. So I work all sort of range, ranging from historical piece up to something more futuristic as well as the current fashion. So I brought one piece with me, something I really like, which is from the Tudors family. The dress is made based on Anne Boleyn. So I do a little bit study on material that resembles her richness and her taste. Another piece would be inspired by Star Wars, because I kind of catch on after Rogue One and Episode 7. Mm. So more futuristic piece would be on PU. The character is based on Mon Mothma. I will be releasing it in the runway show in May, so I'll be able to share more on the full design by then.
Yes, you do. Okay, when we come back, Venus shares with us more on how to start out costume tailoring from zero, as well as some of the interesting facts one needs to know about it. Careers Unusual, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Careers Unusual at Enterprise with me, Jermaine B. And today I speak to Venus Lim, a costume tailor, and I don't mean the regular costumes, but cosplay costumes. Yes, you heard that right, anime comic character costumes. So what goes into costume tailoring and how does one go about it? Venus shares more about costume tailoring along with some of the challenges that may come with it. So Venus, how accessible is it for someone who wants to start out in costume tailoring? And what advice would you give to someone with zero experience in cosplay to someone who can make their own materials?
Actually, I felt that in Malaysia, it's quite easy. We have fabric stores and materials that can be purchased quite accessible and also for a very fair price. You have fabric places like Kamda, Nagoya, Dewa. And in terms of technique and all, we have YouTube and internet this day that you can access for easy tutorial. So you can start off from there where you take the basic. And as you do more, it's like practice in all profession, you eventually learn from your mistake and correct from there. And that's how you improve in the techniques.
Okay. And you mentioned tutoring. Do you also tutor? Do you teach people how to make costumes?
I used to come up with classes, but because of the price, people are not acceptable to it. So what I'm doing right now is I have interns in my shop. So I only teach those who sign up with me for internship.
I see. And those are mainly for you to scale? Is that why you're hiring interns to help you out with this?
Helping me out is one, because eventually one of my dreams is to go into teaching as well.
Okay.
But because I don't have the proper paper background for tailoring and design, I'm hoping that all this will also help me in terms of my resume.
I see. And where do you get the materials you have to make your costumes? You mentioned, you know, tailor, like cloth shop, like Nagoya and all. But what about the lace or the finer materials of things? Are they difficult to source?
For more common ones, you can also get it locally. But there are certain designs, especially like they come with very specific reference picture. Some of the lace or some of the fabric, you need to custom print them. So that's how you source. Either you can do it locally, or you can also source for other places like Indonesia, Thailand and China. Mostly China. We know everything made in China these days. So yeah, you just need to spend a little bit of time, maybe translate the language a little bit, and that's where you get your items.
And what's the biggest difference in making costumes for cosplay purposes and fashion design for regular clothes?
In terms of regular clothes, I have more say in it. Like, it's my flow, my design, how I want it to go about. But when you're working closely with cosplayer, it becomes something very personal. Every piece of attire is very personal to that particular person. There's a specific material they want, specific cut, specific colours, and sometimes they want it to deviate a little bit from the reference picture. So you really need to sit down with them and work out what they want. But at the same time, you also need to make sure what is achievable and what is not. Because sometimes I have clients, like, they want huge wings, but they don't want to see any form of attachment. So that might be a bit difficult. So you need to really sit down and take time to work out with them.
And are these costumes normally made to be practical and easy to wear? I understand some of these costumes can be pretty extravagant and they're not comfortable.
True, correct, especially armour or those bodysuit type. Mm-hmm. Again, you really need to sit down and talk to your client. What is it that you want to achieve? Do you want accuracy or do you want something that you can run and jump in? Or we'll ask them things like, okay, for this costume, is it purpose just for photo shoot or do you plan to join competition in it? Are you going to have very big action in it? Because if you do, there's some amendment that we need to do. So it really depends on their preference at the end of the day.
And your costumes look rather detailed and close to the real thing. Mm-hmm. How do you make your costumes to look as closely as it look in anime or even characters? And how do you get them so precise?
First off, you really need to do homework. It's really like studying for exams sometimes. You need to Google and find as much reference pictures as you can get. Front, back, side, up, down if you need to. And then same thing, you need to sit down with your client and really focus. What are the points that you want to focus? Is this part important? Will this part be shown? So, yeah, from there, you need to work out what is the priority.
Okay, and this is something different, but how do you tell a client? I mean, I'm sure when you want to work on a costume, it also should reflect the personality of the character.
True.
And after knowing a certain client or you know, just meeting up with them and you realise that they don't suit the personality of the character, do you still do it? And how do you reject them if need be? Because you don't not want your costume to look inappropriate or, you know, non-relevant to the character of the person.
I have to disagree with you on this
okay.
point.
Yes, please.
I don't think I've rejected any projects so far, but if I felt that it deviates too far from the actual character, like mm-hmm. some character is over-sexified, I will point out to them that, okay, it will deviate a little bit from the character. It might not have the original feel of the character anymore. Are you okay with it? As long as they're okay with it, then usually we will just proceed. But maybe sometimes if it's a bit too skimpy for very young girls,
yes.
I will also tell them that, you know, it's a bit risky. But as long as you can take care of yourself and all that, then it should be fine. So everything has to be discussed thoroughly.
Okay. Mm. That's very nice of you. Okay, and how would you price some of your costumes? Would you have a range just to name?
Basically, I price based on how much time I need to work on it, how detailed you want it to be, and also material preference, and of course the design. Some more extensive type where I need to spend more time on it will be more expensive than a simpler project per se. But if a simple project but they want top-notch material, of course I will have to take that into account as well.
And you mentioned time. What would you say long, you know, to make a costume?
The longest I spend on a piece is actually 2 weeks.
Okay.
Especially something that is more new to me in terms of experimenting period, then I'll take a little bit time on trial and error on maybe remnant fabric before I move on to the actual fabric. That's time consuming. A quick one, probably 1 or 2 days.
Okay. Mm. And a long one would cost probably about 4 or 5 digits?
Oh, no lah. No, no.
Okay.
The most expensive float so far is about 2 to 3K.
I see. Mm. Okay. And what would be your favourite costume to date that you've made so far?
Oh, definitely from the Tudors family. I plan to complete the set. So far, I've done Anne Boleyn, mm-hmm. Catherine of Aragon. I'm sketching out for Jane Seymour and Anne of Cleves.
And is your dream to somehow be part of a major production costume making sort of?
Oh, yes. Yeah? Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Have you done any of it so far?
I've went for interview. We had a local production previously. I think it's summer, Indian summer. I did went for the interview, but the attire they want is not really something I want to work on. I really, really love period attire. It doesn't matter what culture. As long as it's period attire, I really like it.
Period attire?
Meaning like old China Manchurian.
I see.
Or you can have traditional sari even or traditional Korean attire. Definitely British.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you for coming in today, Venus.
All right.
I'm sure our audience have been enlightened by your story.
Mm-hmm.
I've been speaking with a costume tailor, Venus Lim. If you missed part of this interview, fret not, head on down to our website at bfm.my to download the podcast, or you can search Careers Unusual on the BFM mobile app, available on the App Store and on Google Play. I'm Jermaine B, and this is Careers Unusual, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.